Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Revolutionary Life. This is Gary,
I want to thank you for listening in. If you're listening in right now, I want to please thank you for listening in, guys. We appreciate that. Revolutionary Life, we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And tonight, guys, and we have a different subject every night. So be sure to tune in Monday through Friday, guys, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're right here. Here's the thing. At Revolutionary Life, we talk about things that affect our lives every day. Some of them directly. Some of those things affect us indirectly. The point is that here at Revolutionary Life, we address those questions from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change, baby. It's just change. And that's one thing that's constant. Reactionaries try to hold back change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of new changes. You know, when you're in front, when the change goes down, you might have something to do with how it lands, how it looks when it ends. If you're on the ass end of change, you won't have much say at all. You just get taken under by the wave. We stay on the pulse around here. Revolutionary Life, guys. This is Gary. And tonight, our subject is women. Listen up, guys and girls. Our subject, the title is Women, Females, and Femininity. Oh, yeah. They're going to all go together tonight. And so, I want to thank you again for listening in, guys. Listen closely. I hope this reaffirms something you already know. And it might even enlighten you into some things you don't know. Who knows? Got to listen to find out, huh? All right. I'm going to give you a little music, guys. And I'll be right back. And we're going to get into this thing about women, about femininity, about females. Hang in there. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. I'm glad you're listening in tonight. I want to appreciate, thank you, appreciate you listening in. Just keep in mind, all of our presentations are archived. That is to say, that if you're on this page and you scroll down just a little, you will be able to see on the on-demand section. On-demand section allows you to go back to previous episodes. And sometimes I will refer to those episodes if they're related versus getting into it deeply in one episode. I may refer to it if you want to hear more on a particular subject. And we have different subjects. All you got to do is pick the topic. And we probably got a presentation on that topic. Because like I said, here at Revolutionary Life, we deal with a lot of things that affect our lives. Tonight. We're talking about women, females, Jack, femininity, and I hope you're ready. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. I want to present to you tonight a presentation that I've done several times, different times in person, as well as on the air. I'd like to present this to you tonight, and I would like for those who haven't heard me talk about this subject before to get a little dose of how I address this question, this concept. All right? So tonight, guys, I want to talk about the female, but I want to start with approaching her in nature as she appears. And, you know, I like to look at nature for answers about life in general on this planet, because they don't hide very much from you. They don't change their behavior because you're looking. In. All right. They hardwired, guys. And so in nature, you get a chance to see a lot of examples of females and males in action. And so if I do that, then let's talk about this. Now, here's the thing. When you look at nature and you look at the female in nature, you'll notice something very, very, very curious about her. Now, take for instance the way she looks, her appearance in nature, as opposed to the male of the same species. Let's take for instance birds. The peacock. Everybody seen a peacock before, maybe at Disney or a park or a zoo or something. A peacock, you might notice a peacock because you might see all of these beautiful feathers that the peacock carries. And these feathers are spread wide open. When they spread them, it look like eyes almost on each one of those feathers. And they're iridescent. They go from red to green to yellow. You know, it's beautiful, actually. The peacock. That beautiful peacock with all them feathers is not the female. She doesn't have beautiful feathers. It's the male that got that big display of feathers. If you look at another bird, let's take another bird. Look at the red bird. The red bird the cardinal, the red bird, the cardinal bird. The red bird that is fire red is not the female. In fact, the female red bird is brown. She may have a orange beak. You know what? With a little bit of orange on her beak, a yellow or orange beak. But she's mostly brown. When you see a red, red bird, I mean, she's a red bird, but she ain't red. She's just brown. And when you see a red, red bird, you're looking at a male, not a female. One more example. In the mammal animals, among the animals identified in the kingdom of mammals, right, in this phylum of mammals, lions, the lion. When you see a lion with a big mane, hair around his head, around his neck, when you see a male with a big mane, hair all around his neck, that is not the female. That, as you may know, is the male. The female has no mane. There's no hair around her neck. She's without the neck hair. Bald, almost, in that respect. What's the point, guys? The point is that in nature, the woman is not the flamboyant one. In nature, it's the male that stands out. It's the male that's flamboyant, the peacock with the big feathers, that's the male. The lion with the big mane, that's the male. The red, fire red, red bird, that's the male. Why does he stand out better, more than the female? Why is that? Guys, in nature, it's the male's job, it seems, to attract the female, not the other way around. I mean, in society, and we'll get to human society in just a minute, so just hold on to your hats, baby, and look what we did to nature. But in nature, the female don't go after the male. She doesn't try to impress the male. She doesn't have to. In nature, it's the male who has to impress the female. This is why the red bird is fire red. This is why the lion has the big mane. This is why the peacock with the feathers, when he sees a female, he spread them feathers out. And he want her to see them feathers. And the males will compete to see who looks the best to her. They all dance around. In some species, at mating time, the males bump heads. They got the big horns and the big antlers. And they'll bump heads in front of the female. The female will watch as they go about this process, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But keep in mind, guys, what's natural? What goes on in nature between males and females? And you're going to notice the difference between society now. What goes on in nature? What goes on in nature is the male go out of his way to impress the female. Let me tell you a little story. There is a bird that's a bird of paradise. Beautiful bird, man. It's got iridescent colors. He almost got neon colors. You don't show them all the time. But if a female shows up, now this guy, I tell you what this bird does. This guy goes down on the ground, flies down on the ground. He's a bird, but he goes down to the ground. And he clears a spot on the ground. This is not for a nest or anything like that. He clears a spot on the ground. and he will throw the rocks and pebbles out of the way unless he sees something that looks really good, like a little shiny object or a beautiful pebble. He might get that and put it in that area he just cleaned up. But he cleans a dirty area. He cleans an area on the ground. And he might put a few shiny things, if he sees any, into that area. Then he jumps up on a log or something, and he waits for a female to come by. And if a female lights on a branch above him, he'll jump down off that log, man, into that area and do a dance. I mean, a beautiful dance, guys, if you ever watch nature. This bird will be doing a dance like he got music playing. And he'll start throwing that iridescent, that neon feather. You don't see them until he's dancing. And when he's dancing, every now and then he'll flash those neon feathers. And this dude will be working it, Jack. Now, of course, the female is standing up on the limb, looking down at the male as he goes through his little ritual, his dance. She might fly down there and join him. She might not. And if you watch these nature films, you might see her watch this whole dance that this guy does and still fly away. And he'll start all over again, cleaning up the area and getting back on the log, waiting for another female to come by, where he'll do the same dance when she comes by. Some of them, one of them may come down to him. Some of them may just watch him and then fly away. The poor guy is working himself to death, trying to impress a female. But in nature, the flamboyant ones, the flamboyant ones are the males. They're out there trying to impress the female. Now, in society, it's the female that gets all made up. Fingernails and hairdos and lipstick and rouge and all kinds of good stuff. But I got news for you. In the natural world, it's quite the opposite, guys. What are we doing? I'm going to give you a little music. I want you to think about that. When I come back, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you why this is. There's a reason for all of that in the animal kingdom, in the kingdom of animals on this earth. Don't forget, you're one of them. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night at 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I want to thank you for listening in tonight. Tonight on Revolutionary Life. And by the way, my name is Gary. Tonight on Revolutionary Life, we're talking about women. We're talking about the female and femininity. What I did in the early, and just now before we took a break, guys, I was pointing out female behavior or characteristics in particular, in nature. Yeah. I like to look at nature because they don't hide things from you just because you're looking. They go about their business. And there's some interesting things take place among males and females in nature. Kind of make you wonder what we're doing here in society. Since we're part of this earth, since we're earth, leans. Since we get our food from nature and our building materials and just about everything else we need, we're part of this nature. But we don't live the same way, of course. I don't know if because we think we're better than everything else out there, even though we need everything else out there, just about. but in nature, guys, the female ain't the pretty one. The red bird, the red one is the male. The lion, the one with all the big hair around his neck, the mane, he's a man. He's male. The peacock with all the beautiful feathers, that's not the female, brother. That's the man. That's the male in the business. And the arrangement. And these males are bright colored. They got fancy dances and stuff that they do. They bump heads during rut, what's called rut, when mating time comes around. You will see some animals bumping heads, some of the young men, all in front of the female. This is all put on for the female. Their colors, the hairs, the feathers, the struggle, the fight, all of this goes down in front of her. I gave you an example of a little bird that dances his little butt off, and he's pretty. He's got all kind of neon feathers and stuff that he flash every now and then. It almost looks like a light coming on. Man, you should see this bird dancing. He's doing it for that female sitting up on the limb up there. She don't have all those feathers. She's just brown, like a regular, like many birds, you see. But he wants her, and he's trying to get her to fly down there where he is. And he works his butt off like he's dancing down there. And sometimes she'll just fly away. Every now and then, one will fly down to meet him. But he works really hard. And in nature, males chase, males perform, males attempt to attract females, not the other way around. In our society, it's her that's got the wigs, it's her that's got the hair, it's her that's got the makeup, it's her that's got the perfumes and the this and the that. And the bright colors, the pinks, and the like. It seems like she's out to catch a man. And we're going to get to this, guys. In society, it's like the woman's job is to attract the male. The right one, of course. It's the opposite. flamboyant ones. Those are the males. Now check this out. This is deep. The female seems, in nature, seems to be interested in traits. Traits. T-R-A-I-T. Traits. Characteristics. Characteristics. It seems that she watches these deer, young bucks, bump heads. She watches these birds do all their dancing and show all their beautiful colors because she's looking for something. The reason she flies away rather than comes down and join that little bird that's doing the big dance to try to get her attention. The reason the male peacock can wave all them nice little feathers, colored feathers, and the female still walk away from him. It's because she's looking for something. She's looking for traits. And I'll tell you why. It seems that in nature, the female is making an attempt to gather for her children so that they can better survive and thrive than the generation before her. So she's looking for special traits, traits that mark survival, surviving well, as a matter of fact. And she will snuggle up next to, back up to, the animal, bird, deer, lion, peacock, it doesn't matter. She'll go for the animal who has the traits, the characteristics that she's looking to pass on to her next generation. And the only trait she's interested in is what will make them better able to survive and thrive than she did. If she doesn't see that special trait, she may just fly away after the males get through bumping heads or performing in front of her. But certainly if she sees the traits that she's looking for, she will come on down and join up with that male. But he has to demonstrate traits that she's searching for. Not because they look good necessarily, but because she sees something in them that she wants, and that's one way to get what she wants for her children. There's only one way in nature that she can get those characteristics from that male that she wants her children to have, and that is to mate with that male, to get his genes in her so she can relate them to her children. So she's looking for traits. Now I'll stop right there on the animals. Because in society, maybe we're closer to animals than we think. In society, I don't know, in high school, I've heard girls who were standing around talking. And I've heard one girl tell another girl, oh, look at him. He's got nice curly hair. If you have a baby by him, man, your baby gonna have some good hair. Traits. Traits. Characteristics. Her eyes, the female in nature, is looking for something in a male. And that something is simply things that she would like to pass on to the next, it seems, to the next generation. And often those things are survival characteristics. In our society, I've often heard women say, I want my kids to grow up to live a better life than I did. You've heard that, right? You've heard that, right? I want my sons and daughters to grow up to live a better life than mine. So I work hard, I do this, I do that, so that they don't have to go through what I had to go through. In society, you will often hear that from mothers or parents in general. We want our kid to grow up to live a better life than we had to live. So that's natural. That is natural. Because when you look at nature, the female is searching for traits also. And the type of traits, those that are associated with surviving better. Survival trait. Let me try to give you an example, guys. If the weather changes, if the environment begins to change, global warming or global freezing or anything like that, the female in most species where the female, let's say mammals, animals who are mammals who have fur, right? If the environment becomes a colder environment than usual, it threatens the survival of those animals who have very short hair. They didn't need long hair when it was nice and warm, but now the environment has changed. It's getting colder outside than it used to. And some of those animals can't survive that cold. Some can. She will find the one male who can survive the cold. Maybe he's got more fur on him than the others. She'll see that. She'll spot that characteristic. And she'll want her kids to have that characteristic. That looks like that guy. It looks like she'll, you know, in her mind maybe, that looks like a male. That looks like someone who can sustain this cold weather, who can live through this cold weather. The rest of these guys are dying. This guy seems to be able to work through this cold weather. And I see the characteristic he has. He has more fur on him than everyone else. And dollars will get you donuts, brother. She's going to mate with that one with more hair because she wants her kids to survive. So she needs the traits, and then the one way to get them in the natural world, and that's through mating with that male. So she'll move heaven and earth to back up to that guy in nature. Now, the characteristics in society that women look for, well, I think it looks like it's oftentimes very similar in the sense that savvy women who have been around a while are looking for guys who, if they want a family, they're looking for guys who will produce healthy kids and all of that, right? Or guys who have wherewithal, money, survival, money. They can bring home the bacon, so to speak. They can make sure the kids are fed, the kids are clothed. She's fed, she's clothed, et cetera, and housed and sheltered and all that. And so the guy who has all of those things will be more attractive in the story. I don't care what he looks like. In nature, it's like this as well. Now, in nature, the male that's going to mate with her is not going to be the pretty boy. Now, I'm not talking about high school kids or young people who are just coming into puberty and the like. The characteristics they're looking for is like rims on a car, nice rims on a car, or something shiny. You know what I mean? But, or a pretty boy, you know, or something. And not so much whether he can sustain a family, but the older women, like I said, women who've been around a while, they really, really, deep down inside, if they're like the females in nature at all, they're looking for traits that can guarantee or that more likely can guarantee that her kids, her offspring, are going to live a better life than she had to. We've all heard that before. I want my kids to grow up to live a better life than I did. That's natural. I've heard young girls talking about if you have sex with that guy, if you have a baby by that guy, that baby gonna have good hair because he got good hair. That's a trait. That's a characteristic. It's an attractive one to somebody who cares about that more than anything else. But like I say, older women, more savvy women who've been around a while, they look for a little bit more than just the pretty boy. They're looking for something else. And that something else in nature, of course, that something else is survival characteristics. Right? Will this guy be able to sustain a family? Will this guy produce healthy kids? All that. In nature and in society as well, because it is her nature, it seems, to try to advance the next generation to be better able to survive than the generation before. It is her nature. Who in the world would get in the way of that natural process and why? Why would you stop that natural process? Why would you try to change that natural process? Why would you try to reverse? Who would do that? When I come back, I'll tell you who. And it's going down right now, by the way. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. Tonight on Revolutionary Life, we're talking about women, females, and femininity. Now, I grew up in a time, guys, I grew up around the 70s, all right? I grew up in a time when in my community, men did dress really flamboyant, you know, yellows and pinks and blues and reds, and some men still do, actually, but they would dress in striking colors. Now, they was wearing bell bottoms and blouse and afros and whatnot back then. But they were out to attract females, as nature would have had it. Now, on the other hand, that's just one characteristic. You could get attention, that's for sure. But once you got her attention, she's looking for traits, guys. I mean, if she's young, she may just be looking for a pretty boy. But if she's an older woman or a savvy woman or a woman that's been around a little, she knows that that's not enough. Why? What did I tell you? I told you that in nature, it seems that the female is looking for traits that will ensure that her offspring live a better life than she did. If the weather turned cold, not just cold because of the winter, but the whole environment changes, it threatens the survival of certain species who are used to living in a warmer environment. And all of a sudden, now that environment is getting colder and colder every year. She will notice this change in the environment before you do. And she will notice that her species that has more hair than the others, more fur, let's say, is better able to survive in these cold conditions than the usual ones with the short hair, because it used to be warm outside year round. Now the weather has changed totally. It's getting colder and colder, and it's threatening the survival of the species. But all of them don't have the same effect. Some of the men can survive the cold. And she noticed this. And she noticed that they survive better when they have more hair. She's going to mate with that male. Of all the males in her tribe and or hive and her herd and her group, she's going to find that one. Again, so that she can grab that characteristic he has and pass that characteristic on to her offspring. Why? So that they can survive. When I left here, I told you that in our society, that natural tendency still exists. But in our society, guys, in America, in the United States, for instance, in any Western European society, as a matter of fact, specifically, oftentimes, that natural process that you see in nature, oftentimes that process has been flipped on its head. Yeah, the women are trying to attract men. Or take for instance, there's something called, and I'd like for you to look this up, guys, if you never heard of this before, but it's part of your life. So you better get, so I hope you listen up. There's a science referred to as animal husbandry. Animal, H-U-S-B-A-N-D-R-Y. Animal husbandry. If you've never heard of it, there's books on it. If you've never heard of it, go Google me. The animal husbandry is a practice that is taught. Mainly it was taught to farmers and people who lived in rural areas, agricultural areas. If you were in the city as a young kid, you might join the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. But if you were in an agricultural town or area, you might join the 4-H club. Instead of just camping and everything like Boy Scouts or something, they would have things that, and then they would have county fairs and whatnot. And if you brought in an animal that won a prize because this animal was healthy and he looked good or whatever, you had done a great job of raising this animal and you got a prize. That animal got an award at the animal show. This is in rural areas, guys. You know, your prize pig or your prize cow, et cetera. These kids are being taught animal, a science known as animal husbandry. I want you to look up husbandry. Husbands. Yeah, you're right. Husbands come from this word. Animal husbandry is about raising and domesticating farm animals. Let me say that again. Animal husbandry is simply the science of how to take a wild creature and domesticate that creature. You know what I mean? Domesticate that creature. In other words, a horse who would ordinarily be running around with his, you know, the mare and the horse and the little colt, they'd be running around in the wild. But on a farm, they don't run around in the wild. They got fences. They stay on the farm. They got fences. They got corrals. They got barns with little booths. What do you call those? With these little booths that they keep the animals in. They don't get a chance to run around like in the wild. Right? Or live like they would in the wild. So you can't look at a domesticated animal and see much of nature taking place after a while of domestication. Because if you're good at domesticating, you can domesticate the wild out of them, the nature out of them. You know, like people do pets, you know. People bring a pet into their house, a dog or cat, and they'll try to treat it like a baby child. When it's just not their nature. But they'll try to change that nature, of course, by treating that baby like it was a baby child, that animal. Good luck. You have to get somebody like, what's the guy's name that comes train your dog? He said, I don't train dogs, I train people. Because the dog already knows what to do. It's the people who want to turn the dog into a human. That's why they can't control the dog. That's why the dog is biting everybody. What is that guy's name? I'll think of a minute, guys. But it's a show that used to come on all the time where this guy would go in and teach people with problem animals. And he'd have to tell them how an animal lives in nature. He'd have to train the people, he says. I train the dog, I train the people. Because they want the dog or that little puppy or whatever to be like a child, a human child. And that's where they blow it at. That's not his nature. Well, it's the same thing, guys. You in this society, when we domesticate animals, nature doesn't get a chance to do its thing. Here's what I mean. a horse in a corral. That female, let's take that female horse, mare. She's in this corral. When she's ready to mate, she's doing what every animal, well, most animals in nature are doing. She's looking for traits for her next generation so that they can live better and survive better than she did. We talked about that. You hear that today. I want my children to grow up to live a better life than I had to live. You heard that. Well, that happens in nature as well. The female is looking for traits for her kids, her offspring. And if she don't see them in another horse, that horse is not going to mate with her. But check this out. What happens when you take that horse out of nature and put a corral, put him in a, on a farm, in a barn or in a corral? What kind of choices does she have now? The only choice she has is to mate with whatever animal you want her to mate with. Whatever horse you want her to mate with, you make that choice. You'll bring a stud horse over from somebody else's farm to mate with her. And he may have a hard-ass time mating with her. You guys see these pandas? You know how hard they talk about how hard it is to get the panda to mate with a female panda to mate with a male panda? They go and get a male panda and put him in that cage with the female, and they watch. And they watch, and they watch. And for some reason, she ain't mating with this dude. That ain't who. If she was in the wild, she could pick and choose. But on a farm, she has all she got is what's on the farm. And so the concept, guys, here's my point. The way nature is working out there, outside the corral, outside the domestication process, outside of the farm, the way nature is working out there is advancing the species. Each generation is better than the next generation in terms of its ability to survive and thrive. And the female is ensuring that by picking genes that she believes will better help her children survive and thrive in nature. Well, what about on a farm? She don't even get to decide who she mates with. You go over to somebody else's farm and grab a horse and say, hey, I want you to mate her this with that. Or I'm going to mate this horse with a donkey and get me a mule. And sometimes she won't mate with that dude. Just like that panda. Just because you put a male panda in a cage with a female panda and you upset because she's not mating with that dude, she don't want that dude. He ain't got nothing she's looking for. She needs to be able to shop. Women like to shop. She needs to be able to pick and choose for her kids. But when you put her on a farm and you domesticate her, and you put her in a cage, a corral, or on a ranch somewhere, her options are now, boom, limited. In fact, I was talking about horses. In fact, here's what they do with a horse. They know that she might not choose to mate with that male horse. So you know what they do? They buy male sperm. You don't hear me. They know she wouldn't pick this guy out of if their life depended on it in the wild. She sees something about this guy that's normal, that's regular, that's nothing special, or she sees something about this guy that is lower quality in a man, and the man that she's looking for. So she won't mate with that dude. So how do they get around that on the farm? They take the male sperm. And then they come to the female and inject it in her. They know better than to bring that horse. That wasn't her choice. And she may never mate with this dude. She may fight this guy to keep from mating with him. So they get the male sperm, and they just bring the sperm to the female and inject it in her. That's what they do on farm to thwart what would happen naturally in nature, because they can't let they ain't gonna let the horse loose to go mate and come back. Oh no, she might not come back. So to keep her on that farm, keep her down on the farm, they lose a healthier next generation, a better able to survive next generation. Now, you know what that looks like in society? You know what animal husbandry and domestication of animals look like in our, me and your, day-to-day life? It's called monogamy. Yeah, it's called monogamy. I'll be right back. Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Friday, guys. And every night, we take a revolutionary look at different aspects of our lives, things that affect our lives every day, directly and indirectly. Tonight, we're talking about women. Listen up. Nature is always a good example. Now, before I left here, I told you about a science. And then, wait a minute. I asked you who would try to turn nature on its head? Who would try to flip the whole script of what we see in nature and what we see naturally in young women and older women? That nature to want a better next generation and to get that to seek for the traits that will provide for a better, stronger, more able to survive and thrive next generation. In nature, when allowed to, the female picks and chooses who to mate with. Oh, yes, she does. In fact, I want you guys to look this up. In fact, there is this strange thing that occurs. And I've heard, you may have heard this before, but there's a strange thing that occurs with dogs. A female dog might not be able to resist a bigger dog or something. And he might be able to mate with her against her will. Even, it seems. However, it's not really against her will. She allows it to happen. But, if it's not the male that she wants to mate with, do you know his sperm will not survive in her? It's some kind of block that she can do. When she can't resist it, she will have some kind of block of his sperm, such that she doesn't have to deal with his sperm, even though she can't stop him, right? Or doesn't. Now, I just said that to say this. Why would anybody want to stop a natural process of advancing a species, like humans, for instance? If in nature the species is advanced because the female picks traits will allow for advancement of the next generation, on a farm, that animal is not able to do that. She's restricted to whatever animal the farmer wants her to mate with. They might mate a horse with a donkey in order to create a mule. You can do that on a farm. On a farm, they might want her to mate with someone she doesn't want to mate with. They just go to get the horse sperm and inject it in her. Because they know if they brought the horse, she might fight that horse before she would mate with him. We know that you can put a male panda in the same cage with a female panda, and that female may not want that thing near her. And she might reject this dude. He might not have anything she's looking for. And they wonder why, I don't know, we put a male in there and she won't mate with the male. Well, shit. Maybe that ain't the male she wants to mate with. If her goal is a next generation better than this one, then she might not want this guy's characteristics and traits. So they get frustrated because the panda won't mate. Huh? But I told you that there was something called animal husbandry. And I said that's a science. And I asked you to look that up. Animal husbandry. If you find the word husband in that title, that's because that process is brought into our homes. That same domestication process for animals on a farm, captive, domesticated, we brought it into our society as a mode, as an operation, as a way of building families. And one of the things we introduced, you know, I know women used to refer to themselves as housekeepers or domestics when they didn't work and somebody asked them what they did for a living. I'm a domestic or I'm a housekeeper or something like that. Now, that was a woman who didn't work, who stayed at home, and her husband went out and did all the work. Not all the work, but the work, brought in the bacon. Husbands and wives in our society are arranged in the same similar way as you would domesticate an animal on a farm. Now, I don't know if you guys have been around a while. Y'all might have heard of something called a Willie Lynch letter. It was about raising slaves. However, it is the exact same process. If you hear the word husband in the science that is taught to agricultural children called animal husbandry, look at our society for a moment. We have been introduced through religion, social pressure or whatever, into producing a monogamous relationship. Monogamous, one, mono, monogamous relationships. That is to say that a husband picks a wife and all the offsprings that she will ever produce are coming from that one guy. All right? All your children are going to look like that one guy. Are they going to have traits associated with that one male? Now, that's cute because they all look like you, but it ain't natural. It ain't natural. It ain't natural. A species, it seems, in nature progresses through the female's choices of traits and characteristics. And in nature, she has choices. I told you that. I told you that female bird ain't pretty. It's the male that shines to get her attention. And when he gets it, he'll do all kinds of performances. If it's fighting another male in front of her, or if it's just doing a fancy dance, or spreading its feathers like a peacock to get her attention. And she still might walk away from him because she's looking for something. And she don't see it in that male, she keep moving. She keep it moving. But she's got a herd to choose from. She got a pack to choose from. She's got her group to choose from. On a farm, she's got nothing but what's offered to her. And she may never mate if you don't do something special, like go get the sperm from the other horse and then inject it in her. In society, we have monogamy. Think about it. Are we advancing? Are we progressing as a species when she's not allowed to pick and choose? That's the ground for a divorce. That's the grounds for violence. That's the grounds for all kinds of domestic problems. If she goes outside of that marriage looking for traits. Oh, no. Monogamy means this is the last man, male, that you're going to ever mate with as long as you guys are married. And if he can't produce a child capable of surviving better than the last generation, if he can't produce a progressively better human being, a progressively more capable human being, then there won't be one from that family. She has to be allowed to pick and choose in nature. She picks and chooses. In our society, there's something called monogamy. That's akin to animal husbandry. As a matter of fact, the male is referred to as a husband. And I wonder if that's done on purpose, how do we advance as a species physically if she's not allowed to pick and choose as she would in nature to advance the species? Guys, I'm into my call-in section. I'm sorry about that. My phone number. This is a call-in section, guys. I call it your time to shine. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. And my chat room is now open. And so my chat room is ready for any questions, any comments that might come based on this conversation. And so chat's open. My phone lines are open. And it's your time now to shine. I'm done. I think so. I'm going to give you the music. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. Tonight we're talking about women, guys. Girls. Tonight we're talking about the female and femininity in society and in nature. Listen to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time or Central Daylight Savings Time, CDT, either way. Tonight, guys, here on Revolutionary Life, we're discussing the female in nature and in society. And I gave you a little homework. I told you to look up animal husbandry, the methods for domesticating wild animals to become domesticated farm animals. I told you what it looks like in nature is that she's looking for traits to advance the next generation, to make them better able to survive and thrive than the generation before. It almost seems that that's how animals advance their species. Those who don't change when conditions change don't survive. Those species don't survive. And the female knows which males have those abilities. She's looking for traits out there in nature. And when she finds them, she will get those traits. There's only one way to get them out there, and that's by mating with that male. And her goal is to produce another generation, that the next generation that is better able to survive and thrive than the one before. We hear it in our own families. I want my kids to grow up to live a better life than I did. We hear it all the time. It's natural. Who would interfere with that natural process? We would. Society would. We would introduce a domesticated process in our own homes. That's right. That process of advancing the next generation to be better than the one before fails in our society because women are not allowed to pick traits. Oh, no. Animal husbandry. You heard the word husband in that, didn't you? Well, when you have a husband, that's the last set of traits you're going to be able to produce. Whatever that husband has in a monogamous relationship, it's like being on a farm. You mate with who the farmer decides you mate with. You don't get a chance to pick and choose. That process in nature of equipping the next generation to be better off and better able to survive does not exist in our society. Because we shut her down after marriage. We don't let her shop. You know how women like to shop. Well, we stop the shopping right there. Why would we do that? If we hoped our survival depended on expanding our society, creating a new generation, stronger, better, more capable, more intelligent, more capable. What happens when she can't shop? You go nowhere. You go around in circles. That's what you do. We're in our call-in section. That number is 319-6060. If you call me, you're going straight onto the air, and everybody will hear what you have to say, and everybody will hear my response, of course. I got my chat room open, so if you had a comment, a question you want to put in the chat, I'll try to get to all of those chats, all of those comments tonight, while we still have time, guys. Listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. Guys, tonight we've been talking about females in nature and in society. And we've just about flipped that strip over on its head here in society. Nature's method for advancing itself as a species, as a kind, as a kin, as a clan. We simply turn that process on its head, guys. In this society, and if I'm going to have to do another show, but I want to do another show on matrilineal societies, women run. and patrilineal societies, male-dominated societies. We have to do a class on matrilineal societies versus patrilineal societies, and we need to take a look at them too. Now, you know we live in a patrilineal society. We live in a male-dominated society that's being held together by books, religion, institutions all over the society reinforce that patrilineal way of life. As we go back into history, we'll find that there were matrilineal societies. If we go to nature, and that's what I always do, guys. I always look at nature, how other things on this earth survive and thrive. And then I look at us and look like somebody somewhere decided that that process is not going to go work for you and introduced us, sold us, and told us about a different type of society, a monogamous one, a patrilineal one. Look at where we're at now. I want to talk about matrilineal societies from a social, cultural, anthropological, ecological point of view. There's a history of both in this world, on this earth. There's a history of both. So it's easy to look at them. It's easy to examine them. But we can't do it in this class. We're running out of time, guys. My line's open. My chat room's open. It's your time to shine. You listen to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary, your host. And guys, we're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And remember, if you missed this section, if you came in late, in about an hour from now, since all of my programs are archived, and about an hour from now, this program will be available in its entirety. Just go to our on-demand section, and you will see it pop up there. And the topic, of course, is women, female, femininity. And stay tuned, guys. I got to do something on matrilineal societies and patrilineal societies. That's the only thing that will accompany this presentation just right. So stick with me. I'll be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Listening to Revolutionary Life. Here's where we deal with subjects that affects our day-to-day life. Every day. Every day. Some of them directly, some of them indirectly. Man, we talk about money. Cryptocurrencies. Fiat currencies. Man, we talk about women and men in relationships. Man, we talk about everything here. The only difference, guys, is we address those things from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. So I want y'all to stick with me. Tomorrow night, I'll be here at 7. And tomorrow, I may do a thing for you guys on matrilineal versus patrilineal. If you haven't looked those terms up, look them up. Be ready. Because it's a great compliment to the show we did tonight on women, on the female, in nature, and then in our society. Something's going on. The script has been flipped. Nature always went out. Nature will always win out. And in our next segment on matrilineal, patrilineal, I'll tell you how nature wins out and what that looks like in nature and what that looks like in our society, in previous societies. There's been plenty of matrilineal societies, so we got a lot of stuff to choose from in that presentation. So be there, be square. We'll see you all tomorrow night at 7. 7 p.m. to 9. And again, if you missed anything, all of our shows are archived. Go to our on-demand section and bam, you can pull this one in about an hour, and you can pull our previous presentations as well. Up in the upper right-hand corner of my page, you're going to see a follow button. If you hit that button, you'll be able to get a little heads up on what topics are going to be. We got a Facebook page, and it's by the same name, Revolutionary Life. You might trip over there and see some things, new and different things, pictures, videos, things. All things that you could look up yourself, tell the truth. I ain't making this stuff up, guys. I ain't pulling this stuff out of my hat. Look at nature. Then look at us. Animal husbandry we talked about tonight. Husbandry. Domestication. We're going to get into that. We'll probably get into that tomorrow night. Hang in there. I want to thank everybody who did listen in. Oh, by the way, guys, I have also a share. S-H-E-R-E. I have also a share button on this site. And I'd like it if you would share some of our presentations with others who may be interested in these subjects more than you or the same as you. You never know. So be sure to use that share button. That helps the radio station out, keeps us going and growing. As I said, I'll see you guys tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night, 7 p.m. And we'll do this again. I want to thank you all for listening in. You have a wonderful, wonderful evening. I'm Gary. This is Revolutionary Life. Wishing you a good evening and a good night. Be sure to catch us tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you. Good night.